Thank you, Jesus. And the Lord said, Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things. In the churches, I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. Surely I come quickly. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Mas isso, Efra. Você que lê este tempo, Jé. Isso, Deus, lá o próximo, Jé. Jé. Nem sequer lá o próximo. Understand the mind of the Lord. Understand my visitations, all who have ears to hear and eyes to see. That when I come and shut you down and quiet you, it is a supernatural visitation of my spirit to begin to recalibrate. I can say it like this. Some of you will understand it. I can put it in my own words. Wants to reboot you. For many, many voices are in the world. And the noise that is in your head that talks mostly is the noise that occupies your world and demands your attention. But here, these words. Hear the voice of the bridegroom that cometh. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, saith the Spirit of grace. I desire to shut you down so that I can come in and rearrange your priorities, saith the Spirit of grace. This is what he said. For sooner than you realize, the services that you call church will take upon themselves a new and a different atmosphere. For presently you come together to worship me and bind yourselves together in that place of adoration. And these things are my foundation, which will always remain. But know this, that there is unto you given a great opportunity for the harvest, saith the Spirit of grace. And soon the emphasis in your hearts, as has always been in mine, will be whom you bring in and whom you go out and minister to in the highways and the byways, saith the Spirit of grace. For I desire that the latter church exceed the former church, saith the Spirit of grace, so that that which is on you in these last days is a shining witness of everything that I left in the earth, saith the Spirit of the Lord, so that when you come together, your joy will be in this, watching the masses come together with you and surrender their life unto the one who gave his life for their salvation, saith the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, solo. Vede bella closono. I will visit you. Do not think it strange that I'll visit you in these times and seasons. Bring everything to a quietness. Don't try. Don't strive. Do not debate inside yourself. Surrender. Surrender. What you hear, surrender. What I say, surrender. And know this, that if I ask of you, that I also give you the grace and the strength and the empowerment to yield your members over to me, saith the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I glorify you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm excited.
Oh Lord God, hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you. To get to think that we get to co-labor with Him is the greatest excitement in the world.
Thank you, Jesus.
We get to go out, and the power doesn't come from us. The boldness doesn't come from us. It's all supplied from heaven. Hallelujah. And we get to do the work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
He's about to get his way, I believe. He's been wanting to get his way for a long time. Would you give me that mic, please, honey? Hallelujah. Thank you. Okay. I'm talking about getting his way. He's going to get to see a church that's unleashed. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I've been watching him recently do certain things that just were unexpected. Just how that he would take over situations at given points and just seem like the Holy Ghost would go out there. I like it when he's in here, but when he goes out there and just fills an atmosphere. Candy and I were coming home a month or so ago from some place, and we were over by the University Drive, the one that comes down to Daniels, I guess, or Corkscrew, and close to that place over the mall over there. Is that Coastland or what is that? No. Gulf Coast, but then the other one that's on down, all the way to Corkscrew. Miramar. Okay, I'll give you points for that one. Thanks. So we pulled in, and a guy, you know, I'm filling up, and this good-looking kind of college-age kid was standing over there, and he kind of asked as much as he could, "Sir, would you mind, we're out of gas, and we just got in here, and we're sitting here at the pump, and we need to get down to the university." And his girlfriend wouldn't get out of the car because she didn't want to be embarrassed. He said, "Could you give me a couple dollars worth?" And I said, "Well, you know, you're thinking, what kind of angle until your spirit kicks in?" And then I said, "Well, you know, I'm putting it on the card. Can you just pull around here and I'll add it on here?" He said, "I'll push it over there." And I said, "No, I'll just come over there when I get done." So I went over there, and of course, started helping him. Would put in more than what he asked, of course. And then we started talking. I said, "Just a simple, do you have Christ in your life?" And he said, "Oh, man," he goes, "Yeah." He goes, we're just going down here, me and my girlfriend, to this church." And he goes, "Tonight's Bible study." And I said, "Well, I'm a pastor." He goes and gets her. And he said, "Would you come out? Come on out here. This is a preacher. This is a pastor. This is a pastor." Now, I'm saying this because I've met others recently have similar encounters. I'd love to get them up here. Matt had one recently. Just incredible. Two or three maybe. And I just said, can we pray? And when I began to pray, the Holy Ghost, He just began to just circumference that whole place right there. And the power of God began, and I prayed God's ordained grace over their life and their future and a walk into Christ that would begin to sustain them for the future and begin to open their eyes to see the real Jesus and the Jesus that had come and what He wanted to do in their life and how He wanted to take them from where they were at now to the next place and to the next place. And do you know they were so thankful? Because they got to see God in action. Now there's a higher place than that. There's a place that the church is about to be unleashed into every man's world. And we're going to get past all of the restraints that have been holding down our life and saying, I cannot. We're going to get past the cancer. Well, I'd like for you to see there's a bigger cancer than the one that eats away at people's bodies. And it's the one that says, will you go? And I can't, sir. Will you go? I can't, sir. Why? Because I'm still having problems in my home, or I'm still having problems with my thoughts, and I'm still, and He's saying, will you go? I have called you. I have ordained you. Stop saying, I can't, sir. Give me your life. I will unleash my glory on you if you'll go forward and do what I've called you to do. Hallelujah to God. Now I thought it necessary by the Holy Spirit when I heard something that Homer said to me privately this morning, and he in fact put a footnote around it. He said, I believe this is just for me to tell you. He said, I believe it's very private. And then the Holy Spirit quickened me and said, it's not private, but it's all of our lives. And I'd like for him to share briefly. Would you do that, Homer? I'd appreciate it. Just whatever part He'd have you to share.
Because really and truly, when it's all said and done, all glory goes to Him. I mean all of it. I mean absolutely 100%. All of it. Listen to me. I mean all of it. Until He finds it. If He finds it. I do know this. For the last month, we've had some powerful stuff happening on Sunday nights. I mean, like I've never experienced before. Probably back-to-back services. And 9 got filled with the Holy Ghost last year. Pretty powerful, pretty gloriously. I mean, there was really no teaching, no nothing. I just said, lift up your hands right now. I'm going to count to 3. I'm going to ask you to breathe in, and God's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. And they were filled. That simple. You got it, Matt? Just go. I just got to worship God a little before I go on any further. So you just help me stand and sit in however. Let's just give Him praise a little bit this morning. A little more, rather. So, Father, we bless You. We worship You. We praise You. Glorify Your name, Jesus. I worship You, Jesus. I give You praise. I give You glory and honor. It's been pretty remarkable how certain young men have been so hungry. They're going out everywhere talking about abstinence. I mean, talking about Jesus, talking about... It's been 3 months since I've touched a woman, since I've played secular music, and these kids are hungry, going out and getting them in, and it's powerful how God surrounded me now with young ladies that are getting so hungry for God. And it overwhelms me. It overwhelms me because now fathers and mothers are coming in that are being fathers and mothers to these young people. You know, taking them out, taking them to buy a burger, having a good time with them, rubbing in it. And it just blesses me because for the last month, something powerful has begun to happen, not just in the youth ministry, but in my own personal life with the Word of God. It's like every word that you read, it's just being absorbed by your soul. And yesterday, I had a normal day. I got up early. I just spent a couple hours just reading my Bible and praying in the Spirit. Then I went in and out. I worked out a little bit and read and prayed. And some guys came over, watched a little football, spent time with my family, went to bed. And when I went to bed, I very seldom have dreams. I haven't even shared it with my wife because I did think it was that personal where I said, Lord, well, surely I can share it with my pastor. And I shared it with him. I was shaking when I got up this morning. And in my dream, there was four miracles. The three I can't recollect in my mind. I can't. But the fourth one, I was just going forward. I was going forward in a dream, just going here and there. The first three miracles, I was by myself, but for some reason, I don't know. I can't remember them. But on the fourth one, my wife was following me. And I know that the Lord gave me specific instruction. He said, go to this place and you'll see who I'm talking about. And I walked and my wife was following me from a distance. There was a man with a big tumor on his head. And I didn't ask any questions. I just looked at him directly. I said, God has something for you. And I just went immediately without saying anything. I just put my hands on his head and the tumor left and he backed up. And he was of Hispanic descent and there was three women behind him. And I looked at them and they backed up. I told my wife, I said, get these ladies born again right here, right now. And the dream was so powerful that when all that was done, I started shaking in my dream. And then I woke up and I began to curse everything that's on my body illegally. And I began for minutes just saying, I'm healed. You're here illegally. I've been healed too. Then I just began to speak to everything that I thought I had. And I got up and went to the bathroom and I checked myself and I said, this is gone and this is gone. And I said, Lord, when all this was happening, I said, Lord, when and where are all these going? He said, it's already in existence. My question was, Lord, I see these miracles. When and where? He said, they're already in existence. I said, Lord, but my wineskin's not prepared. Or he said, well, go and prepare it. And the moral of the story, not the story, this was a dream. And I woke up and I was shaking, tremendously shaking and just shaking and shaking. And all I could do was say the name of Jesus. For like an hour, all I said was, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And I woke up and looked in the mirror and he spoke to me. He said, I just added about 10 or 15 more years to your life because I just began to speak and speak and sugar diabetes. You don't exist. There is no diabetes in your kingdom, Father. There is no high blood pressure in your kingdom. It does not exist. It First Peter said that we were healed. I'm already healed of strife, of malice, of anxiety. You name it, we've been healed from. But this is a remarkable thing. I said, Lord, when do these miracles occur? He said, no, son, they're in existence right here, right now. Lord, the wineskin's not prepared. We'll go and prepare it. But it wasn't prepared. And yet still in the spirit, in my dream, miracles were being worked by an uneducated man that's his hardest critic. I'm my hardest critic, but you know what? He isn't. And I'm telling you, there's something going on in my heart and in my spirit with these kids. And more than anything with God, when I have any share this with Pastor, there's a submission to me in the spirit. Now listen to me, for that man right there. Paul said, now, this is a familiar, sorry, but this is a familiar quotation. I submit to no man. No, 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 no. If you submit to Jesus, the fruit of submitting to Jesus is a fruit of submitting to the man of God. Paul said, Timothy, I'm your, just like a son serves with his father in the spirit. So, listen to me. Listen to this man. Listen to him. Listen to him. Be careful what spirit you hear. Be real careful what you hear. He is more than a pastor. He is our Father in the Spirit. Listen to me. Listen to what spirit you hear. If you judge anything of this man right here, judge it by one thing. His hands are clean. Many pastors preach. Many pastors teach. But few have clean hands along with his spouse. Now is the time to walk holy in the midst of our God and our King. What we're after is not ordinary, man. It's not common. It's not new either to God, but it's new to us. Submit yourselves first to the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll comprehend everything that I'm telling you this morning. The harvest is white. It's ripe. He just doesn't want us to go, Pastor. He wants us to go with authority and love and the power of the Holy Spirit. We've been talking for 2,000 years, the church has been talking. We've been talking for 2,000 years. What we have before us is special. Not that we're special, but we're allowing someone special to work in us. And He's given us a man that's a dying breed. Him and his wife are a dying breed. Be careful to what spirit whispers in your ear saying, do not submit to a man. You're right, but submit to a man that would give his life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. The harvest is white. It's ripe. And it's ready. It's there. Let's go forth as we are. As we are surrendering our life to this one man called Jesus Christ. It's there. It's ripe. Right. White. Whatever. It's there. Ponder these words. Consider these words. I can back them up biblically all through the book of Timothy. He said, as a son, you've labored with me as your father in the faith. He's far from being God. He's far from being the Holy Ghost. But He is a father in the Spirit to us. We are indeed on the right track. Lord, my wineskin's not prepared. Well, go prepare it, son. But the man was healed of his brain tumor before the wineskin was prepared. That in itself lets us know that it's not us. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that abides in us. Right here, right now is our time. Not yesterday, right here, right now. Not to right here, right now is our time. To go bring the Almighty God glory. When that miracle, that man had brain tumor, I didn't rejoice because I was there in the midst of the miracle. I said, sir, that is the glory of my Father. What you feel is the power of my God that just healed you. And I was jumping up and down because I was able to demonstrate who my God was. Not just in word, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we're rejoicing, because our God is about to be exalted in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Why? Because His glory is going to be made manifest. That's all we want, is to display who He is. Not with this, but with the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're after. That's what we're after. Our God's might will be made manifest. In that we do rejoice. Amen. Pastor.
Hallelujah. He was didn't give the specifics. Pacific is an ocean. The specifics of his venture was at a real classy place called JCPenney. That's where that man with a brain tumor had, right? That's a place where I'd probably show up. Hallelujah. Or Ruth Chris or something like that. Hallelujah. Praise God. We exalt you, Jesus. I exalt you. Bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. When I knew that, I felt that it was that God wanted him to say that, because way before we get everything perfected that we think needs to be perfected, the Holy Ghost, He's already given us all we need. Hallelujah. So He wants you to know that you've been called. And He wants you to know that you've been empowered. When He asked him about not being able to do all that, because there we go. And the Lord said, well, just go do it.
Amen.
Just go do it. You know, I believe you could ride around with Him all day long. He'd ride in the front seat of your pickup with you and spend the whole day with Him. Just your personal tutor and guide. Jesus. You know what I think? You know what I know? He wouldn't bring up any of your faults and failures. And you'd be riding along and at the end of the day, you'd say, well, you know, we've had a glorious day. But I wanted to, by the way, talk to you about all the stuff that you know, that I know, that you know is going on. And he'd say, pull in to McDonald's and get me a shake. And what you're concerned about, just go do it. I've empowered you to change. Just go do it. There's no need to get in the mully grubs about it and wallow in it and spend long hours of beating your chest and sackcloth and ashes and pulling back. They did that in the Old Testament. Now we serve the Father of lights. And if He chastens you and He scourges you, it's as an inward chastening and scourging by the Holy Spirit. And just the yieldedness. You think He wants any penance on your part? There's only one that's ever paid the full price of penance. So for you to languish in your infirmity for 5 minutes, once you come to the realization, the fight is you come into the realization of your need for Him. But once you know that you need Him, you've already been empowered to change. So turn that thing over to Him and watch Him walk it out in your life. Hallelujah. He who spared not His own Son, how shall He not with Him freely give you all things? We're not living under sackcloth and ashes. We're living under a new testament, a new endowment. Hallelujah. Praise God. I glorify You, Jesus. Man, I worship You, Jesus. Would you like to come under and pool our authority and pray for a couple people? Linda Sharafa called again. Her husband is fighting for his life. And we've been fighting with him. How many of you believe that we can continue to combat this thing? He's laying in a hospital in ICU fighting every moment for his life. Jesus has already paid that penalty and that price. And then we've got a couple of Lupita's, her other beautiful daughters that are with us. But there's one that'll be transported tomorrow to John Hopkins University in Baltimore, Maryland. And they've put a pacemaker in her heart this past week. And tomorrow or this week they will do abrasions. There was another word that preceded that. I can't think of it right now. But it's cathra abrasions, where they'll go up through a cathra and do abrasions to her heart. And what it will do is simply, to my simple layman thought process, is it'll only complement. It's supposed to complement and cause the pacemaker to work more effectively. But her mother called me last night and said that her right ventricle was because of just a debilitative kind of state. They'd said a debilitated to where that it was not working really. And that same process of weakening was going to the left side. And they said there was no cure. No cure. Because it's a disease. You can be way overweight and a couch potato and your heart not be strong. It's because you're not exercising it. But if it's not diseased, you can hit the pavement and diet right. And you can build your heart muscles back up, but not if they're diseased. But God can step in. Because the prognosis is not what you want to hear. and what we refuse to hear. In Jesus' name. So we're already in that good place. So I bet you would like to stand and go before God with these, wouldn't you? Hallelujah. I bet you would. Lord, we lift up that baby right now. Alyssa, I told Lupi that we would go before you. Lord, I know I'm not the healer and no man in here is the healer. But we know the healer. He's standing, hair white as wool, flames of fire is in his eyes. And he's standing there because he's already paid the price for congestive heart failure. And in Jesus' name, I speak life to every side, every ventricle of that heart in the name of Jesus. I command your life along with the saints here who stand in the gap for this young lady. Right now, I speak your life and I release your grace. In Jesus' name, I command her to live. In Jesus' name, to live out her days as a grandmother, as a mother, as a grandmother. I speak life and the healing virtue of the Lord Jesus Christ. Manifest itself into that heart. Restore the muscles, the strength, disease. I command you in the name of Jesus. Go out of that place. Go out of that place. Abandonment. In Jesus' name, we abandon those things and walk free from them. We discover your life. I release your life into her, Jesus. Now, for this man, Father, I speak life into his lungs that are depleted of strength and, Lord, collapsing in a congestive state. I command life into his lungs in Jesus' name, that he lives and does not die and declares that he's had a visitation from Almighty God in the name of Jesus. I release your life into him. Now live. Dear sir, come out of this state. In the name of Jesus, I speak the life of God and the refreshing of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. You may be seated. Deanne, would you come and sing for us? Yes. Yes, ma'am.
I had the privilege and the opportunity yesterday of celebrating a birthday party with my cousin with her
son. Hallelujah. This one right here. See? This right here? It's JoJo. And Josiah. And his mommy, when she was in the womb, Candy had this thing, and all of a sudden, how far along were you? 4? Lost all embryonic fluid, pretty much all of it. It was a tear. And the doctor advised us that we'd be better off to go ahead and do the DNC. And I just left, and I went home. And nobody was there, and I just buried my face in the carpet. And I began to cry and weep and squall before God. I wasn't begging. I was just in that place of intercession. And tongues and tongues and tongues and tongues and tongues. And when I came up, it was done. In the next 24 to 48 hours, the tear in the embryonic sac healed back and the fluid filled back up. Thus Davy, thus Josiah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And, he said, the guy told us he was a miracle before him because he advised us the best thing to do was the DNC. Scrub the whole operation. He said, you guys really made a real quality decision. That was really, really good. Hallelujah. Where's Dean?
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Good word. He just never misses an opportunity to hold up JoJo, does he? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, giving God all the glory, Brother Homer, I shared this once before, but as you were saying, to God be the glory for all these testimonies. Something the Lord helped me with that a long time ago, real simple, all us housewives will get it. That if you take a Mrs. Smith's pie and you follow the instructions, you put it in the oven, it comes out, it tastes real good, you can't take any of the glory for it. Now that's simple. But if you read God's word and you follow the instructions, you can't take any glory for how it comes out. He's done all the work. Isn't that simple but good? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I was telling Bronk the other evening that this past last week, I was sitting and pondering, praising the Lord, and thanking Him for all of the miracles that He has done, wonders He has done in Gerald and I in our life. Last year this time, my husband's a builder. So need I say any more about the recession and everything? You know, but the word says that whatsoever a man doeth shall prosper. And we are prospering on what he does. Hallelujah. Because that's what the word says. And when you hold to the word, it works. Amen. And last year this time, we were going through the roughest time we had ever gone through and the toughest Christmas we had ever had. And I was telling Bronk and Candy, we were patting out hamburgers and sharing them and counting pennies and rolling them. And we had come to one morning, we didn't know, not how to pay our bills, but how we were going to get gas to go anywhere or food on the table. And we didn't know. It had come to, okay, Lord. And I looked at Gerald, which I love the faith that he walks in. He walks in simple faith. This is what the word says, and this is what's going to happen. And that's just cut and dry. He don't debate it. And so I looked at him, and I said, honey, and I wouldn't even say, what are we going to do? I just said, honey. And I could see the look in his eyes where it hadn't been there the whole time. And I knew not to talk to him because you don't want to say anything when you know that you're walking through a tough trial, test. Because you learn what the word says. And we had sown the word, sown the word, sown the word. You know, the word says in Mark 4, sower sows the word. The sower sows the word. Houston came in last night as a side note. I think it was last night. Yeah, we were up late talking, watching the playoffs talking. And he quit talking about this. I was trying to watch the playoffs, and Houston was wanting to talk about the word. And he goes, Mama, all I hear is night and day, night and day, night and day, night and day, night and day. But he's listening to CDs in his truck about the sower sowing the word all the time. Sower sowing the word. And Mark chapter 4, verse 27 says that night and day, you sow the word and you get up and you go to sleep. You get up, you go to sleep, you get up. You don't know how it works, but it works. But it works, but it works, but it works, but it works, but it works. And we knew that we were the head and not the tail. We knew what the word says, and it comes to the point where if you feed your soul that so much, it agrees with your spirit. Because your spirit knows that you're blessed. Your spirit knows that he became poor, that you may be rich, and you're not lacking anything. It knows that, but if you'll feed your soul that, your soul will get in line with your spirit, and then it happens in the natural. Because what works? Well, the last year this time, we were sitting there on the couch and no prospects of work, nothing. And Gerald had had a loader that we had put on the side of the road. We had asked some friends if we could put it on there. He had called everybody he knew. He had called loader people that had some. And he had called a farmer that he knew. And he had talked to his buddy that was into that. And they all said to him, Gerald, we feel your pain. We're sorry. You know, and his friend had even told him you could put it on the side of the road, but they are going for a fraction of what you owe on this. You will never get the money out of this, ever. And praise the Lord, we hadn't got pined on any of our bills except for that. We had decided we're giving it over to the Lord. We didn't need it no more, and he could sell it for us. We had spoken over it, prayed about it, and said it there. We were looking at each other this morning. We both had our Bibles in our hand and prayed over the morning. And the phone rang. And it was a man. And he wanted that loader. Praise the Lord. He paid for the loader and gave us $1,000 that morning. That was over and above what we owed on it. Praise the Lord. Because the word works. And to God be the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, that's a good exhortation to take up an offering with. Praise God. Well, what will keep a lot of well-meaning people that really, really love the Lord from giving sometimes is fear. Fear and care. It's not just not having. Sometimes it's a fear, if I do this, then what's going to happen tomorrow? But, as you well know, when it comes down to it, what He wants you to serve Him out of is love more than anything else. So when it said that He became poor, that I used to preach, and a lot of the stuff we say is preached, you can think back to the time where you preached. Same thing. That He became poor, that I through His poverty might become rich. Well, I equivocated, and so my deductions were, let's see, I wonder how rich heaven is. Heaven's very rich. Well, okay, by standard of heaven, when He came to earth, He was diminished in His the glory that surrounded Him. So then He, evidently, by, let's see, if you're a multi, let's say, billion, let's say quadrillionaire, then you become a mere millionaire, you become impoverished. And I said, oh yes. So He came here, He still had things provided, but by reason of where He left, but that's not what it was talking about. The poverty that He took. The poverty He took all surrounded Isaiah 53:5 and 1 Peter 2:23. He became poor. When He became poor is when He identified with my poverty, with sin, sickness, disease, and impoverished finances. All that He bore in His body, and He became the sacrificial lamb for me. That was the moment that He stepped over into that place and became impoverished. Poverty? Lived out His... He lived out? No. This man was a walking man of provision. He had provision everywhere He went. You think he lived as a poor pauper? I don't know how many of you this afternoon can serve lunch to 20,000 and feed all of them at one time. He could do that. He could buy a word of knowledge, say, oh, Peter, you know, if they want us to pay our taxes today, why don't you run over there, put a hook in in the sea, pull out a fish. I don't know that he even baited it. He just said, put a hook in, pull it out. And when the fish comes out, pull out the coin and pay my annual taxes and your annual taxes. Now that's a lot easier. Let's see, Peter. That would probably equivocate to about 10, 15, 20 boatloads of fish and a lot of all-night fishing and a lot of toiling. And then the master says, go do this. And Peter, pay yours and pay mine too, all at once. He had everything that he needed all at one time. So I serve him and he serves me in the ability to give me the prosperity. He became poor that I, through him, when I step over into him, then I receive that same kingdom that he walked in. And there is no lack in this kingdom. Hallelujah. There is no lack in it. There's not a moment there's lack. Are you glad? Now this is the one thing he wants to conclude in this. We're going further this year than we've ever gone. Boy, I'm so glad to know there's so many around the world that I can look at. And there's other churches and other places where God is just pouring out His Spirit. And we're just going to join hand in hand with those places and say, my God, let's bring back the King. Hallelujah. Let's bring back the Anointed One. Hallelujah. And when I said that if He rode around with you, that He'd say, just go do it. Well, what do you mean, just go do it? When I said last week, when the Holy Spirit said last week, and I remembered and brought to your remembrance that vision that Pastor Dave had years ago of that chaotic sphere, and the Lord said to him, that's the flesh, and the way to defeat it is knowledge. And he thought sacrifice, like we all would, more fasting, more this, more that, and many of us are in those kinds of seasons or about to go into them or whatever, and those are absolutely wonderful. But what the Holy Spirit was saying, that if you understand through wisdom how to defeat the flesh, if you understand how to trumpet, if you understand that you, by the Word of God and the inroads that we do not worship but we use as avenues. See, this is what excites me. That the moment that I or you enter into prayer to any extended time, or the moment that you and I execute the position to begin to stand on God's Word and confess, or let's say to one of those extreme limbs that we think of like fasting, before you ever begin to indulge or go into anything that you believe will fasten you to the cross, you have to understand that nothing that is a inroad into God replaces the state of being that you've already become in God. In other words, nothing replaces grace. I am today the full righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the healed. I am the blessed. I am... When anything, though, stands in that and tries to impede it, like the flesh, then I am so thankful that I can select, like a librarian, out of the bookshelf, whatever the Holy Spirit says to me during that time and season. It may not be a time and season for fasting for me. It may be a time where the Holy Spirit says, I want you to just chill for the next 2 months and just worship and just set yourself aside into worship. Fasting may not be the thing at that time. I want you to get into my Word more than you've ever got into it, and I want you to pray in tongues. I want you to select the volume that will be the part and partisan to your life to enforce grace for you to walk in during this time and season of your life. And when you do that, you will trump the flesh. And you will bring the flesh under subjection. And the flesh will begin to yield, and it will say, yes, Lord, yes, I submit to what the Spirit has become, the full grace everything that Jesus has provided. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I adjure you to use a good King James word. I encourage you. I beseech you. Use the wisdom of God. Know that it does not replace grace. It only enforces it. Know that whatever the Holy Spirit is telling you to do during this time in your life, know that if you select the volume of fasting, if you select the volume of worship for extension, if you select all of these and place them together, that He has you on a collision course to more freedom than you've ever known in your life. More love for God and more love for the brethren than we've ever known. Hallelujah. Folks, there's going to be an explosion around here one day, and I say that day now is that our level of love and acceptance one for another is going to come to such a crescendo. All I desire to do, and you pray for me, all I desire to do, and I sincerely mean this, is to become the biggest slave among you. And I believe that is your desire as well. I believe that if we ever get in any competition for anything, let it all be accursed that we win one thing. How can I die that Christ may live inside of me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. How many of you would like to bless and allow yourself to be an instrument this morning in blessing our week ahead of us and whatever God wants to meet through your provisions today, through what He'll provide through you? It's all God provided. So right now, I'm going to ask you to bow your hearts and head, and I ask you to pray with me. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Lord, we love you. We love you so much. Immokalee is in revival. The blind see and the lame walk and the deaf hear and the dumb speak. And we receive this outpouring that you're pouring out around the world. Oh God, thank you. Thank you that you've allowed us to be a part of this great outpouring. To the churches all across America that are heeding the voice of God. Around the world. And all over this planet, we get the opportunity to bring back the King. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts this morning. Teach us what things to give. Help us to divide the provision and the pound. We speak life, and I thank you for my brothers and sisters in the Lord. I commit them unto you, and I commit them unto this grace and to the sound of your voice. And we receive. We do not take these things, but we receive them, Father, as an instrument of your grace. And we love you and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. We love you. I hope you've had a wonderful time in the Spirit this morning. Continue to just worship the Lord as you... We haven't had an opportunity to hug one another this morning. Please take that time. If you need prayer physically, if you need a miracle in your body, I'm here presently. As people are greeting one another, we will also be praying. Come and avail yourself to the power of God. He's still here in a very powerful way. So, amen. God bless you, and you are formally dismissed. But sit in the presence of God and honor those that are being prayed for. We love you. Amen.